Hello, this is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service, with reports and analysis from across the world. The latest news 7 days a week. BBC World Service podcasts are supported by advertising.
This is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service. Hello, I'm Oliver Conway, and we're recording this at 13 hours GMT on Monday, the 11th of May. Our main stories: millions of people in Europe are rediscovering lost freedoms as coronavirus restrictions are eased in France, Spain and elsewhere. Plans for a relaxation of the measures in England have been criticised for a lack of clarity. And Hong Kong's leader promises an educational overhaul, blaming school lessons on critical thinking for fueling political dissent. Also in the podcast, a warning of a second wave of infections in South Korea after dozens of new coronavirus cases in Seoul's Party District.
The next 2 or 3 days will be a critical moment which decides whether Seoul is penetrated or not. If Seoul was penetrated, the Republic of Korea is at risk.
And the glass cabin being used for care home family visits in the Netherlands. Although the coronavirus still appears to be spreading fast in places like Russia and Brazil, many countries in Europe seem confident they have the outbreak largely under control. And so tough lockdown measures are being lifted. After weeks of confinement, millions of people across Europe are enjoying new freedoms from today, although isolated outbreaks in Germany as well as China and South Korea highlight the need for caution. We'll hear about the spike in cases in Wuhan and Seoul a little later. But first to France, which is easing some of the restrictions that have been in place since the 17th of March. One of those who's already taken advantage of the relaxation is Marc Mauny, who reopened his hair salon at midnight. He said he would work until 7 o'clock tonight, serving one person an hour.
I will cut hair, I will welcome customers. But the coronavirus is still here, and this is why we're masked. My clients will come in masks. We must stick to the safety measures. Everyone is in a bit of a panic. I just heard that in Britain they're prolonging the confinement. Wow, we don't know where we're heading. So we need more time to stay positive and kind, and we will get through it.
So what are the other new freedoms people in France can enjoy from today? I spoke to our correspondent in Paris, Hugh Schofield.
They can leave their home without fear of being stopped by police and asked for a piece of paper. They can leave their home at any time and any length of time. They can gather in groups of up to 10. They can basically be free. They can, you know, you can get out. It really is a big, big change psychologically, if for no other reason. They can also travel on the metro and buses, which have been expanded. I mean, they weren't completely cancelled, but there was a very, very limited service over the last 2 months. That's been expanded. And they can go to work and they can go to shop. Shops are open, businesses are open, hairdressers, manicurists, they'll all be opening as well. So it's a sort of tentative return to a kind of normality, but it still doesn't feel a bit normal at all. And the rule remains, you should work from home if you can. And most people who I think are in office jobs are doing just that, because traveling in this morning to the office where I am now, it really felt like not even August, you know, when Paris is dead. I mean, it really, even below that kind of level, there was a bit of traffic, not very much. The metros and the overground trains were, there was no sort of great crowding on them at all. One senses that those who have to come in, maybe to work in shops and industries and commerce like that, are coming in. But otherwise, people are heeding the pleas from the government to stay at home. On top of which, there is this rule that's come in that says that you can only travel on the underground, on the tube, metro in Russia, if you have a piece of paper from your employer saying you are needed at this time. All this kind of messaging has got through to people, and I think they're staying away from the public transport system as much as possible, knowing that that is the weak point in the whole system of social distancing.
And also, it's not the same across the whole of France. I've seen a map with the third sort of northeast region in red, the rest of it in green. So there are extra restrictions in Paris and the surrounding area.
Yeah, I mean, this red and green zone is slightly confusing, because it's true, there are two zones, and the red zone is where the virus is reckoned to be circulating more freely and where hospitals are still under a much greater pressure. But the difference between the red and green zones and how life will change, I think, is fairly marginal. The big difference is between Paris and the rest of the country. Paris is where, and the Île-de-France, the region around Paris, is where there is going to be, if life returns to normal, suddenly a resurgence of big concentrations of people in shops and businesses and so on. That's what they want to avoid. So that's why in Paris there are these rules about having pieces of paper to travel in the rush hour, about compulsory masks on the underground, about every second seat on the metro and on buses being consigned and you're not being able to use it. All this to reinforce on people the message that while there may be a return to something approaching normality, it's not normality as we used to know it before, and people mustn't think that it is.
Hugh Schofield in Paris. Neighbouring Switzerland is going slightly further than France. Restaurants, museums and bookshops are opening with some conditions, and children are returning to primary and middle schools. Imogen Folks reports.
Here in Switzerland, new cases of the coronavirus have been under 100 for the last week. So now schools, restaurants, bars and museums can reopen, but with strict hygiene rules. 2 metres distant everywhere, face masks advised on public transport, restaurants limited to 4 guests a table, and lots of hand washing. Everyone who can work from home still should. And the government plans aggressive tracing and quarantining, as well as an app to help track us. After 8 weeks in lockdown, people here are happy it's finally easing. But there's some concern as well that maybe everything is opening up too fast and that cases will rise again. We'll find that out in the next couple of weeks.
Imogen Folks. Lockdown rules are being further relaxed in Denmark, Belgium and the Netherlands as well. Half of Spain's population can now gather with family or friends in groups of up to 10, although that doesn't apply in Barcelona or Madrid. The Spanish Foreign Minister, Maria González Lea, says measures will be further eased over the next 2 months.
We start today. We hope to end by the 30th of June, and we'll work through a gradual opening of social contacts, shops, businesses and so on. But also asymmetric. Some parts of the country are in a better position to move faster than other parts of the country.
I heard more about the picture across continental Europe from our correspondent Gavin Lee in Brussels.
At least 7 countries, Ollie, are taking a pretty significant step forward today. Spain, where at one point, given that they've had over 26,000 deaths and over 200,000 cases, it looked like doctors and nurses in the capital, Madrid, may be too overwhelmed, and one hospital in particular was in the point of collapse and mortuaries were full. They had to set up a separate specialised centre to deal with the dead being brought through. It was actually an ice rink. So to see that today go from a position where they can open shops, they can open, actually in some areas of the country, around half of the country, you can go into a church, into a museum, into a theatre where there are distancing rules in place. You can go to a bar or a restaurant as long as you're served on the terrace, and you can hang around or be with groups of up to 10 people. That's not for Madrid. That's not for Barcelona. That's not for Andalusia, Valencia as well, the regions that were worst hit. And clearly there is voices and authorities coming from there saying that they should be able to reopen at the same time. But Pedro Sanchez saying that, the Prime Minister, that people should treat this new way forward as though everybody was contagious and actually keep clear as possible and be very suspect of those around you.
Now, as people return to work, some of them may begin to start thinking of whether they'll be able to have a summer holiday. We heard about some new quarantine measures being imposed on passengers flying into the UK, although perhaps not with France. What's going to be the picture across Europe about people travelling to different countries?
This is a really good point, Ollie. I tell you why, because the Schengen countries, those 26 countries in Europe that have a passport-free area for decades now, that suddenly have had to put restrictions in place at all the borders. I'm talking to you from Belgium. I can't get into Germany, to France, to the Netherlands without a check and saying, OK, is this an emergency? Can you go through or not? Pedro Sanchez has talked about this. Emmanuel Macron, the French president, the Greek prime minister as well, saying that they should now start looking at reopening Schengen and how they do that. They haven't given a date, but it's certainly something being considered. And Emmanuel Macron going further to say that he'd spoken to Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister, last night to make sure that anybody arriving from France into the UK isn't put into quarantine, that are exempt from that. So it's that very difficult balance, isn't it? Trying to stop the spread of cases, but reopening economies and the ability to travel.
Gavin Lee in Brussels. Well, here in Britain, the government is facing criticism after the Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced a slight easing of restrictions in England, ditching the stay-at-home message in favour of stay alert. The main opposition leader, Keir Starmer, said there was a lack of clarity after Mr Johnson encouraged some people to return to work but asked them to avoid public transport. Scotland and Wales said it was too early to lift the lockdown. There's also been confusion about whether you can meet people from different households. The government has now published details of the new strategy. Here's our political correspondent, Chris Mason.
Sir Keir Starmer branded the new guidance a bit all over the place. Len McCluskey, the General Secretary of the Unite Union, said it was important to get the economy moving again, but safety was paramount, and what Mr Johnson said was confusing and almost disbelieving. The First Secretary of State, Dominic Raab, pleaded with people to use what he called common sense. This lunchtime, Downing Street sought to clarify what its stay alert message for people in England meant. Stay at home as much as possible, limit contact with other people, stay 2 metres away from people you don't live with. MPs and others will demand much more detail this afternoon. Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, has once again appeared in front of the slogan Stay at Home, which is the central message too in Wales and Northern Ireland.
Chris Mason. As countries look for new ways to unlock society without risking the health of older people, one care home in the Netherlands has opened a customised glass cabin that offers protection while still allowing families to visit loved ones. Anna Holligan went to Wassenaar to see it.
This is what a family reunion sounds like under lockdown.
All right.
A familiar hand scrub and through a door into a customised glass cabin nestled at the bottom of a sunny garden. A transparent shield cuts through the middle to protect the elderly relatives who approach from the other side from the invisible danger their loved ones might pose to them.
Hi, Mum.
Hello.
The ways in which so many of us have been keeping in touch with our families just don't make sense to everyone. Willem Holleman is the director of the Claris Nursing Home.
Well, WhatsApp calling and Zoom for half our residents, too difficult to understand. They're looking at a screen like an iPad, thinking they're watching video. They don't understand it's live, it's real time, so they don't respond. They walk away. There's one thing we don't want in our nursing homes, and that's the COVID.
The cabin's been customised with paintings on the wall, pot plants in the corner, and cosy armchairs on both sides to feel like a living room.
So my name's Margot Pont, and I'm the granddaughter. So for me, being able to really see her is the way she walks, just her whole body and her body language is incredible. She can't see the outside world, so she doesn't know how it is for us outside that we're also not able to go to our work or go out in the streets. She thinks she's in some kind of prison, but we're all kind of stuck at home
Because how do you explain that to Margot's grandmother, Nora Stope, an 85-year-old woman with dementia who just lost her husband and went into a nursing home 2 weeks before lockdown, that the whole world has changed, not just hers?
Steeds dichterbij.
Ja, helemaal goed.
Tranen weg.
Tranen
zijn weg, hè?
Helemaal goed.
Ik vind het vervelend dat ik huilde, maar...
It's normal to be upset and to cry.
Yeah. I'm very happy to see them, but that's all. I want to be free to talk to them and
knuffelen.
Yeah. I don't know the word for
hug. You miss hugging them.
Yeah. You want to hug them.
Yeah, hugging. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And that's completely normal, says Gerjoek Wilmink, the managing director of the Alzheimer's Society in the Netherlands.
We all need social contacts, but for people with dementia, it's very important. That helps them to keep their brains working. My mother, she had dementia. The only way she would recognize us was after a hug. Only seeing us wasn't enough. She needed to feel.
And just stepping away from the glass house to give the family some space, and Mrs. Stope is wiping the tears from her eyes, saying, "Weg, weg, gone, gone." Her son and granddaughter are trying to reassure her that she'll be able to go back to the beach when this is all over.
Anna Holligan reporting from the Netherlands. Still to come in the podcast.
You know why I want to go to school? Because I really want to see my teacher and some of my friends, because there's only going to be 10 of my friends in the classroom.
The Australian children happy to be back in lessons. The Chinese city of Wuhan is now infamous as the place where coronavirus first emerged. It also saw the first lockdown, strictly imposed by the communist authorities. And last month, it came out the other side. The high-profile opening of Wuhan was seen as a message that China was returning to normal. But now, new cases have been detected in the city. The authorities are also concerned about infections near China's border in the east. Robin Brandt has the details from Shanghai.
In the city of Xulen, which is in a province which borders North Korea, a country apparently that has no reported cases of COVID-19, that city has now been escalated to medium risk. That's the only place in China currently classified in that way, and that is because of a renewed outbreak there. And we're seeing a fresh cluster as well emerge in Wuhan, the city where this all began. Now, there are 5 new cases being reported there. Apparently, this is around 1 housing compound, and apparently it's linked to an 89-year-old man who first fell ill with this new type of the virus back in March. He stayed at home, we're told, wasn't treated at hospital. But since then, there have been a number of cases related to that compound in the double digits. And in the last 24 hours, we're seeing 5 new reported cases there at this single compound. So, you know, Wuhan, remember the city that stayed in lockdown for 76 days. It's been open to the world for about a month now. But a spike there, a resurgence, the case number is very small, but nonetheless, it will be hugely concerning because it is new, fresh cases emerging domestically.
Robin Brandt in Shanghai. South Korea has also seen a cluster of new cases linked to a nightclub district in the capital, Seoul. Although many people who went there have now been traced, the government has been unable to contact more than 2,000 people. The clubs are often visited by members of the LGBTQ community, and many use fake names because of the stigma associated with being gay in South Korea, as Laura Bicker explains.
Well, first thing to remember is Seoul and South Korea has never had a lockdown. So people at the height of the outbreak were asked to stay from home, work from home where possible, but there's never been a lockdown. These nightclubs were opened on April the 19th. The entire party district was opened. You were allowed to go clubbing if you wore a mask, if you wrote down your name and contact number at the door, and if you used hand sanitizer. But after the long holiday weekend and the district of Itaewon was completely packed, there appears to have been, yes, an outbreak at a number of clubs. The complication is that when it comes to South Korea's ultimate challenge of testing, of tracing and of isolating, they've proved so good at it. But right now they are trying to trace a number of people who may not want to come out. And the reason for that is because being gay in South Korea is extremely difficult. When it comes to coming out, you can sometimes lose your family and lose your job. So many people, yes, have perhaps given false names at the door and may be reluctant to come forward. Health officials are emphasising that all they want to do is catch the virus. They're saying that every test will be private. You don't have to give your name. But they're also warning that if you don't come forward and it's found out that you have infected others, you could face a fine of up to $2,000.
Laura Bicker in South Korea. Children in Australia's most populous state, New South Wales, have begun returning to school. The country's had almost 7,000 confirmed coronavirus cases, and most areas are taking a measured approach to restarting classes. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Under a cautious plan, students in New South Wales are heading back to school for one day a week. Class sizes are limited and extra hygiene and social distancing measures have been put into place. Many children couldn't wait.
You know why I want to go to school? Because I really want to see my teacher and some of my friends, because there's only going to be 10 of my friends in the classroom.
I promised my friend Chloe that we would do maybe handstands or something because we're doing something for the talent quest. And I'm really excited.
Full-time classes could resume by the end of the month as COVID-19 restrictions are gradually wound back. The New South Wales Minister for Education is Sarah Mitchell.
I think that parents should know that it is a very safe environment for their children to be heading back into. I'm really confident that this process will go well. I think the managed and phased return to school has been the right call by us as a government.
Queensland has also started a staggered return to school. But officials in the Australian state of Victoria have been urging pupils to stay at home. They hope to have most students back in the classroom before the end of next month. Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, federal health authorities have insisted it was safe for children and staff to be at school.
Phil Mercer in Sydney. Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam has promised major changes to the education system, which she has blamed for fueling dissent. However, critics and opposition politicians are warning that freedom of speech could be undermined. Steve McDonnell reports.
Hong Kong's pro-Beijing politicians have been targeting the liberal studies curriculum in the city's high schools as a reason for what appears to be an ever-increasing mood of unrest amongst students there. Liberal studies was introduced in 2009 to encourage critical thinking, but Hong Kong's embattled leader, Carrie Lam, says the classes have been used by teachers to encourage certain political biases. Now, the chief executive has promised an overhaul of high school education without going into detail of what this might entail. Pro-democracy legislators have warned that the government is planning a push to replace freedom of speech in schools with patriotic education. Beijing has been accused of escalating its crackdown in the quasi-autonomous region in recent weeks, with the Chinese government pledging to have a greater say in Hong Kong.
And that was Stephen McDonnell. And that's all from us for now, but there'll be an updated version of the Global News podcast later. If you want to comment on the podcast or anything in it, email globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk. I'm Oliver Conway. Until next time, goodbye.